May it please the court, my name is Anrita Johnson. I'm here on behalf of Specialty Restaurant. In this appeal, the appellate Specialty Restaurant is seeking relief from the harsh results of a case decided by this court in Elkin Metals in 1998. Specialty Restaurants is the owner of a restaurant that was at an airport in Cleveland, Ohio. When the airport expanded, the restaurant, who was leasing the land from actually the city of Cleveland, had to close. So this was the only opportunity for Specialty Restaurants to pursue a decrease in its real property taxes. The facts in this case reveal that for tax year 1998, a complaint was filed on the last day that it could possibly be filed, which was March 31st, 1999. According to my client, at that time, they had not totally engaged an attorney to actually file the 1998 complaint, but time was running out. And the complaint was filed on the last day. Soon thereafter, they couldn't reach a fee agreement, and the complaint was withdrawn first by a letter dated June 8th, 1999, and then later, for some unknown reason, they had to again ask for the complaint to be dismissed, and that was in November of 1999. Finally, the Board of Revision granted the dismissal, and the 1998 complaint was dismissed. For tax year 1999, Specialty Restaurants properly engaged my firm to file a complaint, and that complaint was filed on March 17th, 2000. Shortly after the filing, let me just state for the record, 1997 was the beginning of an interim period for Cuyahoga County.
Right, 97, 98, and 99.
That is correct.
Okay.
Because it was the second complaint filed in that three-year period, the complaint was dismissed by the Board of Revision and subsequently by the Board of Tax Appeals. The Board of Tax Appeals issued a decision wherein there was a dissent that questioned whether or not the reasoning in a recent case by a court of appeals in Hamilton County distinguished this court's case in Elkin Metals. That case is called General Electric Company versus Hamilton County Board of Revision, and numerous school districts were involved in that particular case, because the General Electric plant at issue spanned more than one taxing district. So as here, the General Electric case involved a complaint that was filed for a prior year that was dismissed at the request of the complainant before any proceedings were held before the County Board of Revision.
Now that's where they make their distinction, correct?
Absolutely. In that case, they held that because the Board of Revision didn't take the two-step procedure that was outlined in Elkin Metals and later referred to in CIA Properties of first making a jurisdictional determination before you're getting to the merits of the case. And Elkin Metals talks about the two things, the two-step procedure. And because the first step was never taken by the Board of Revision, which was reviewing the complaint to see if it was jurisdictionally adequate, the court in General Electric held that the filing was void and therefore it was not to be considered a second filing. The court in General Electric had the benefit of both this court's decisions in Elkin Metals and the first case on second filings, which was Gamarino. And at the time of their ruling. And they studied them, they distinguished them, and I believe they properly distinguished them, because here there was nothing that happened, none of the property owner almost immediately sought withdrawal of the complaint before the Board of Revision had an opportunity to look at it jurisdictionally. But in Alcoa Metals and Gamarino, in both those situations, the first filing was jurisdictionally defective. And that's the distinction that has to be made in this case. In Alcoa Metals, I think there were numerous defects in the filing. The case, these defects were raised in an early stage, but the case ultimately wasn't dismissed until a Court of Appeals hearing. In Gamarino, the defect was raised at an earlier stage. It was a standing issue. The complaint was dismissed, and Mr. Gamarino just refiled the following year, and I think the same issues were raised again, and this court had an opportunity to rule on whether it was deemed a second filing when the first filing was defective. Here we have no defective filing. We have a voluntary dismissal before any action is taken by the County Board of Revision, and we believe that Alcoa Metals and Gamarino should be limited to the facts, and that the better rule of law under the facts of this case were announced by the court in General Electric, not by the board or the majority of the board in this case.
But doesn't the statute say file?
The statute says file, and the case that was relied upon by the court in Alcoa Metals, which was Fulton the General Motors, I think the term filing in that context meant delivery. And I think in General Electric, the court went a little bit beyond that in the sense that they said, well, in Alcoa Metals, they talked about the two-step procedure. And the first step was whether it was jurisdictional, and the second step was to get to the merits of the case. I think that if you look at the Fulton case, that was relied upon, and if you look at the syllabus, it's clear that the court in that case said the term filed employed in section 71098A should be limited to that section, which is the filing of preference claims. And the court
wasn't the context, though, of the fact that it was just filed. I mean, wasn't that the essence of that case? I mean, in Alcoa,
the court definitely focused on the term filed in Alcoa Metals. I believe that if you look at Fulton and which they relied on, I think they expanded Fulton because it was the filing of a preference claim, and the issue was whether the filing of a preference claim was jurisdictionally adequate at the time it was mailed. Here we do have delivery. And if you look at the context of the term filed and say it means delivery, then if you strictly apply Alcoa to this case, which the board did, the outcome would be the same. We're asking this court to limit Alcoa to the term filing when they take the additional step.
Would you put any time limits or conditions on your interpretation, in a sense? I filed it. A year later, I withdraw. No problem.
Well, if you look at General Motors, I think even a hearing date was scheduled in that case. We don't even have that kind of activity here. We just basically have a complaint that was filed apparently, maybe not with full authority, but time was running out, and the complaint got filed, and then they didn't have an attorney-client relationship, and the complaint withdrawn. And I think the result here is to lose the right to appeal forever because the property is no longer in existence. It's very harsh, and the court in General Electric gave a little bit of a relief for complaints that are voluntarily withdrawn rather than complaints that are dismissed for jurisdictional reasons. And
would you make a distinction then between why they're dismissed for jurisdictional reasons or any other reasons?
Well, I think the distinction was drawn that if it's not for jurisdictional reasons, as in the cases here, there is a distinction because the Board of Revision hasn't taken any action. The only thing that the Board of Revision may have done in this case, and I'm not sure of this, is to notify the Board of Education that a complaint was filed. From the facts in General Electric and in the caption of the case, it appears they took that same action of notifying the school district of the complaint. But basically, a piece of paper is sitting there, and that's the only activity that has happened in this case before it was requested less than...
Even though it's sitting there, couldn't the parties use that as a, they could be negotiating?
That's a possibility. It rarely happens at a Board of Revision level, but
I'm thinking school board, particularly the school board, not the board. It's not the Board of Revision itself, but the school board.
There could be activities taking place by the parties or the school board, but the Board of Revision itself is not taking any activity. And they're not even looking at the complaint at that time to see if it's jurisdictionally defective. And I know many Board of Revisions around the state, that's the first thing they look for is some defect in the complaint so they can dismiss them.
What's the normal time between filing and hearing in Cuyahoga County?
I believe that my opposing counsel will be more familiar with that, but in Franklin County, it's about a year.
Okay. And so they could have, I mean, this was not a situation where after it was filed, it was a hearing was imminent. They either had to withdraw or go to the hearing.
It was certainly voluntarily dismissed because the time frame, March 31st, the Board of Revision has 30 days from then to notify the school district, and then the school district has another 30 days to notify the Board of Revision on whether they want to be a party or not, and this was basically requested to be dismissed at the expiration of those time frames, 68 days after it was filed. So it was even before the 90-day limit, which the Board of Revision is supposed to complete its work, or it's considered a carryover complaint, hadn't even expired at the time they first requested. And as you can see, even though the first request was in June, the Board of Revision didn't even get around to the request until February of the next year, so it was certainly just sitting there for a long period of time doing nothing. Unless you have any further questions, I will reserve any time I might have for rebuttal.
Thank you. Mr. Seed?
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is David Seed, an attorney for Appley Cleveland Municipal School
District.
You
might speak up a little bit.
Cleveland Municipal School District Board of Education. The school board asked this court to confirm the ruling in Elkin Metals that the delivery of a complaint to a Board of Revision constitutes the filing of a complaint. I call the court's attention to the court's language in Elkin Metals when the court points out, in quotes, thus, when Elkin delivered its complaint for tax year 1993 to the BOR, comma, it filed a complaint, end quote. So our point is that when the court examined this issue, it looked at that a filing of a complaint constitutes, takes place when the complaint is delivered to the Board of Revision, not necessarily when a hearing is scheduled or when they address the merits of the case.
Would you comment on the General Electric case?
Sure.
Which Ms. Johnson?
In the General Electric case, the court, I think, distinguished Elkin, the First Appellate District distinguished General Electric by saying, by pointing out that no hearing had taken place in the General Electric case. They sort of, the First Appellate District disregarded or ignored this court's analysis regarding delivery and filing. They immediately went to the fact that a hearing had not taken place for the Board of Revision to review the jurisdiction. Ms. Johnson was, and you were discussing whether a hearing was imminent in this case. A hearing, in fact, for the 98 case was scheduled on August 28th of 2000.
How is that hearing set? Are those automatically set when they're filed, or?
Yeah, they're set with 30 days, as soon as 30 days after the school board's received notification, so the school board can file their counter complaints. But it can take up to, in the case of this current triennium, a year, year and a half after the filing of the complaints.
Now, when you said this one was scheduled, this was the 98 complaint?
Yes, sir.
Now, is that, as I heard Ms. Johnson say, that it was 68 days after the filing that they withdrew it?
The first counsel sent a letter in to withdraw the complaint, probably when she received notice of the hearing. An August 20th hearing, an August 28th hearing, 2000, there may have been 30 to 90 days advance notice of the hearing.
Okay, so we had essentially two.
Well, no, excuse me, Strutt.
A year.
That. No, not a, I'm looking at August 28th, 2000 is for the tax year 1999 complaint.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I do not have the information regarding the tax year 1998 complaint.
Okay. So we don't know what happened in 98. Probably was not set for hearing.
I do not know that.
Okay.
So, okay. We believe that this court should confirm Elkin that the delivery of the complaint constitutes a filing of the complaint. And this court went through a very detailed analysis of the issue, and the court pointed out that it does not matter whether the complaint is perfect or imperfect. And we'd also point out that there's no record regarding whether the tax year 1998 complaint was unauthorized filing. And that's a serious allegation to make, and there's no evidence in the record to that effect. Also, the tax year 1998 complaint would be a continuing complaint carrying forward the tax year 1999. If the property owner decided that they did not have a disagreement regarding the tax year 1998 value, they could have requested, possibly because of the late scheduling of hearings in Cuyahoga County, that the complaint be treated as a continuing complaint and look at tax year 1999 and not 1998.
Okay, well, of course, it would have continued for 99 if they would have decided the 98 one. But tell me again, what about the time for hearing? What's the normal?
It normally, after the school boards have filed their counter-complaints or a property owner, they can be scheduled immediately.
Is that the normal?
Depends on the, 98 was an off year, a non-reappraisal year. So they could have been scheduled within 1 month after filing of counter-complaints up to 6 to 9 months.
Okay.
Reappraisal years, it can be a much larger period of time. So we believe that the General Electric decision found an exception because the Board of Revision had not scheduled the case for a hearing. We don't think that really matters because, as this court pointed out, it's the delivery of the complaint that constitutes the filing.
So you wouldn't put any further conditions on other than filing?
No. You know, we'd also point out that, as we noted in our brief, the City of Cleveland is not a complainant in this issue. The complaint lists specialty restaurants as their interest, as the City of Cleveland's interest may apply. Specialty restaurants, we do not believe, has demonstrated that they own real property in Cuyahoga County.
But that's not an issue here, is it?
Right. We just point that out.
Did you file a cross appeal? Right?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Johnson, you have a minute and 13 seconds to respond.
Hey, I'd just like to point out for the record, there is absolutely no evidence in the record of the 1998 complaint was ever scheduled for hearing in this matter.
Okay.
I think there was some confusion when Mr. Steve was referring to a scheduling decision for the 1999 complaint, which was last year in the triennial, which is historically has the least number of complaints filed during the 3 year period. I would ask the court to seriously consider whether, under the circumstances of the voluntary dismissal, that the rule in General Electric should be applied if there's been no action by the Board of Revision, and the first complaint in this matter can be considered void, and that the 1989 complaint was improperly dismissed.
I'm still bothered a little bit by the General Electric decision, and how far can the process go and still be voluntarily dismissed? Anything short of a hearing?
That seems to be the way the General Electric court went. In that case, I believe that it was actually scheduled for a hearing before it was voluntarily withdrawn.
So under that case, you could go ahead and have the hearing schedule. Anything short of the actual hearing would be.
That's the way the General Electric Court, the first court of the appellate district, ruled in that case. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Case will be submitted and you will be advised of the result.